As of January 14th, and for the first time, federal dietary guidelines recommend schools serve whole milk to children. In Wisconsin, we drink more milk than most Americans, I think. I'll find out when we ask our guest here. But, you know, the question's always been, is full-fat milk healthy or harmful to kids? And here to answer that question, Andrea Miller. Andrea is a registered dietitian and the outreach program manager for the Center for Dairy Research at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And as we talk with her, I hope you'll join in. What do you want to know about how healthy different kinds of milk are, perhaps, and how they might relate to your own kids or grandkids? Give us a call. The number, 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Andrea Miller, welcome. Thanks for joining in. Good to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
So, on January 14th, President Trump signed into law new legislation that allows whole milk and 2% milk to be served in school cafeterias. Maybe first, what kind of milk have school children been drinking up to this point?
Sure. So traditionally, it's been skim and 1%. A lot of schools have been taking out the chocolate milk option as well. So this is a big change. I've been a dietitian for 25 years, and this is a big change that I haven't seen before.
Yeah. Well, I think since 2012, schools receiving federal funding through the National School Lunch Program, is what I think it's called, could provide low-fat or 1% milk.
Sure.
So what was the reasoning for that?
Well, there's an advisory board that helps guide the U.S. dietary guidelines. And sometimes it can appear contradictory, you know, so we've known this for so many years, and now you're saying that 2% and whole is okay. What happened? It's not necessarily that it discounts the previous studies. It's just the advisory board stays current on the studies, and it kind of adds to the body of knowledge that drives these guidelines and these recommendations. And I will point out to say that the guidelines aren't specifically stating that only 2% in whole should be provided, but offered as an option. It can be offered as an option now.
So is it healthy for school-age children?
Yeah, that healthy word is kind of a loaded one. I do have a difficult time as a nutrition professional attaching that word healthy to a single food or a single nutrient. So I'll kind of start with that.
Okay.
Looking at healthy as more of a way of being, necessarily pinpointing certain foods as healthy or not healthy or good or bad can be kind of dangerous in a sense that it can give mixed messages. So with all that, I can break it down. When you look at the different varieties of milk options. So if we just start with skim, 1%, 2% whole, right?
Okay.
Essentially, all the nutrients are very similar in terms of carbohydrate, protein, your vitamins, and your minerals.
How much protein?
8 grams in one cup. So 1 gram per ounce in milk. So milk's a very solid protein choice.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we always said three cups of milk a day or three glasses of milk a day. That was the, I think, when I was growing up.
Sure. So when you look at the different levels, really the only difference between skim 1%, 2% and whole is the fat content and the calorie content. The nutrients are the same across the board. The other nutrients are similar across the board.
So here's what I'm thinking, I tell me if I'm right or wrong. I'm thinking that the original was the reason for 1% or 2% is we don't want our kids to get fat.
I think you're spot on. So the concern is, or shall I say the assumption is, kids are getting enough fat in the other things that they're eating, or they're getting enough calories. We don't need to add to it by, adding in, because milk, regardless of the fat percentage or the fat level, the other nutrients are the same. Why not have them get all those nutrients without the extra fat and calories? There's a caveat to that. Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So, but if you have the situation where it's not palatable and a child thinks, I don't like skim milk, I'm not going to drink milk at all, then you just took out that whole category of nutrition that you can't really get anywhere else in that perfect little package.
Yeah. Well, let's look at some evidence or research. What's the evidence that drinking full fat milk can lead to obesity and heart disease?
Yeah, that's a stretch. That's a little bridge too far, in a sense that we don't eat foods in isolation, right? We don't eat nutrients in isolation. So we have to take into consideration, again, why we don't want to label specific foods as good, bad, healthy, unhealthy, because we eat nutrients together. We eat them as a package. We eat foods together. So if you're having one component of your meal that has fat in it, maybe the other component of your meal doesn't, and you just balanced it out. So we have to take that into consideration, that we can't isolate certain foods, and we can't just assume that kids are getting too much fat. Maybe some kids, their school lunch meal, their school milk drink is 75% of their nutrition for the day. We don't know that. And so we can't make these overarching recommendations when we don't know what kid's situation is. And I just go back to, as a dietitian and a nutritionist, is I'm thinking nutrients. What am I getting, or what is my child getting out of what they're consuming? And milk is one of the most nutrient-dense foods out there. Yeah. And so if a kid can get that with some extra fat that they might actually need, or a little extra calories that they might actually need to get through the day, I'm all for it.
Stephen Madison called but couldn't stay with us. Wants to know if the ability to digest milk proteins changes over a person's lifetime, or can it change?
Yeah, good question. It's not so much the ability to metabolize or break down the protein as is our tolerance to the sugar, the natural sugar in milk, lactose. So lactose is probably the most common intolerance amongst adults. Kids tend to metabolize it very well. So if you recall being able to drink, a gallon of milk a week when you were young, and now you look at a glass of milk and it kind of gives you a queasy stomach, that's kind of a normal thing. So when we're talking nutrient intake, for instance, and we're talking adults versus kids, that's also something very important to consider. Kids' intake of milk and dairy, they might be getting those nutrients through milk alone, meaning they're not eating the other foods. Adults might be eating yogurt. They might be eating cheese, which for the lactose side of things is very well suited, because lactose isn't as, you're not as affected. Your body doesn't have to do as much work to break down any lactose that might be in cheese or yogurt.
Mm. So what's, if I've got a cup of milk and I'm looking at protein, and how much, this is maybe an aside, but you may not be prepared to answer, and I've got a hunk of cheddar cheese.
Mm-hmm.
How much cheddar cheese would I have to eat to sort of be the equivalent of 8 ounces of milk?
Yeah, that's a good question. So you're talking, how can I get 8 grams of protein out of a piece of cheese? You're talking about 1 ounce to 1.5 ounces.
Okay.
So a very reasonable amount. And if we're talking, when you made that reference at 3 glasses of a day, the other way to think of that in the modern terms is think of that 3 servings of dairy a day. So you could get that through a serving of milk, a serving of cheese, and coffee with your milk, or Yeah, milk with your coffee in the morning. So it doesn't have to be three whole glasses. We can consume milk differently.
I have a cup of yogurt every day.
Mm-hmm.
So what's a cup of yogurt in terms of, I think the yogurt that I get has like 20 grams.
Yeah,
I actually pay more money for, by, I don't know, 50 cents or whatever, a carton to get the 20 grams.
Sure, sure. Yogurt's a little different situation because there's so many more variables with yogurt. If it's slow strained, it's going to have some more protein in it versus traditional. So there's a few more variables in terms of the nutrition profile in different yogurts. Whereas, again, milk on its own, 8 ounces per 8 ounces, whether it's skim, 1%, 2%, or whole, the nutrient profile is essentially the same.
It's the same thing.
Except for the fat and the calories.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And interesting, and how they take that out.
Right. And yeah, and those are
back to some pretty interesting leadership at the UW way back in the day.
Mm-hmm. And it also begs the question when you're talking about human beings, right?
Yeah.
If they're consuming something that doesn't have as much fat in it, are they going to try to get fat in other foods? Versus if they have a glass of 1% milk or whole milk, excuse me, are they going to be satisfied and not searching for other things to eat?
Yeah.
So there's that whole human aspect, too, that we have to consider, that whole behavior kind of aspect and listening to. We hear a lot about satiety now and getting fuller sooner and that kind of thing, and we're paying attention to that feeling of being satisfied. So a lot will argue that, you know, you take the whole milk, especially with kids, they're more satisfied throughout the day. They have more concentration to learn better. They're not reaching for snacks because they're not missing that extra nutrition or fat or calories. So there's something to be said for that, too.
Absolutely. Andrea Miller, our guest today. Andrea is a registered dietitian and the outreach program manager for the Center for Dairy Research at UW-Madison. We've been talking about milk with her and the new guidelines that have come out relating to whole milk and 2% milk. Questions for her? I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or email us to talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. We're talking with Andrea Miller, a registered dietitian and part of the Center for Dairy Research at the UW-Madison. Great to have her with us. And questions, I hope you'll join in again at 800-642-1234 or email to talk@WPR.org. Amy in Milwaukee wonders, is it better for a child to drink chocolate milk rather than no milk at all? And I've had parents say, my kid doesn't like white milk and only wants chocolate milk.
Mm-hmm. Excellent question. My short answer is yes. The fact that...
It's better.
It's better, yes. A few reasons being, one, you don't get, especially for a kid, you do not get the nutrition profile in anything else. And if they're not drinking it, the question is, what are they drinking? And there isn't an alternative out there that is going to match up to the nutrition that a child needs, that is the matrix of all the nutrients working together, in addition to the list of the nutrients that milk provides. The other thing to consider, kind of a different concept to consider, is when you add sugar to milk, if you're flavoring it chocolate, it doesn't take away the nutrition. The nutrition doesn't go away, right?
No.
Just like if you add sugar to your high-fiber cereal. If that's a way for you to eat high-fiber cereal, great. It's not going to discount the nutrition by adding sugar to it. And in fact, we have to pay attention that our kids may be satisfied with that and then not reaching for other sugary things throughout the day because they're getting satisfied with what they need.
You know, as we were talking here, I was flashing back on Wisconsin State Fair when mm-hmm. Herb Kohl was senator, and he always had a booth where you could get free milk, and he would have strawberry milk and chocolate milk and cherry milk and every different flavor you could imagine. I always enjoyed stopping there and trying a different one of the different flavors that he had. And why not? If that's what they're going to, only thing they'll drink.
Right. And it could be reassuring to know also that flavored milk in schools has nearly 60% less added sugar than it did 20 years ago. So we're making advances. We're trying to, and that's one of the things that we do at the Center for Dairy Research is how can we keep milk safe and of good quality, and how can we keep it in high demand? So how can we work with products that people are going to consume? Because if you don't consume the nutrition or you don't consume the product, then what's the point?
What's the point? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Will in Oshkosh, we'll go to you. Hi, Will.
Well, thanks very much. I'm an 80-year-old plus guy, normal weight, et cetera. Lactose is fine with me. Are there great virtues or no virtues, or what virtues in drinking whole milk at my age? What's the science on that?
Sure. I mean, the biggest, it's going to be a little bit subjective at this point. The objective or kind of the nutrient information would be that you are consuming dairy products, right, to get that valuable nutrition. And then it's kind of your personal preference. You know, if I have somebody that's consuming skim or 1% and is fine with it and sees no issues, I wouldn't make them go to 2% or whole milk. But if you're thinking, gosh, I really miss whole milk, and if I drink 6 to 8 ounces of it and I'm satisfied, I say, go for it. So a lot of it at this point is a palatability, a taste preference, just kind of how satisfied it makes you feel when you consume it.
Yeah. And, you know, when you're at that skim stage, it's almost like drinking water.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you could get used to it, but if you don't have to, why go down that road, right?
Jerry and Kokana, we'll go to you. Thank you for calling.
Yes, I was curious about milk and some of the, if it inhibits some of, like, the polyphenols and the isoflavones in certain vegetables or spices. And I've heard, like, well, if you drink green tea with a spot of milk like the English do, you're kind of defeating some of the purpose. Can you talk about that and how milk affects some of those nutrients and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how much of it is validated enough that it would make a difference, you know, in someone's overall diet. I'm not familiar with that.
Yeah, that's one I haven't heard about either. But not to say that it's not there, as Jerry is pointing out to us.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry, we'll have to look into that and get back to you on that, because I honestly don't know either. Paula in La Crosse, thank you for calling.
Oh, hi. Thank you. Well, hey, I'm a fellow registered dietitian. I retired about 5 years ago, but I was 35 years. And I just wanted to point out, I was just extremely shocked when friends of mine and their kids and daughter-in-laws were substituting giving their children cow's milk, which we recommended whole milk until the age of two. But they were substituting the nut milk, seed milks from almond milk to oat milk. And I pointed out, oh, my gosh, there is zero protein. And I think people don't understand this, that there is, unless it's soy milk. And certainly if you have an allergy, whatever it might be. But I just wanted to point that out. I think it's very, very, very disheartening. And yes, there's so many individual circumstances, but I just wanted to point that out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's an excellent point to make. And I spent about 9 years in retail as a dietitian before coming to the Center for Dairy Research. And that was apparent, the lack of understanding of the difference in nutritional profile between a plant-based milk and a dairy milk. It's not even comparable. Soy milk is probably the most comparable if you had to find an alternative. But when we talk about lactose as being an issue, for one, the best alternative or substitution, if you will, is dairy milk simply with the lactase enzyme. So whatever percent fat you enjoy, but just getting the lactose-free dairy milk is your best option because you don't lose out on any of the nutrition. Plant-based versus dairy milk, not even comparable in terms of protein digestibility, the matrix of nutrients. We're not talking about even the same set of standards.
Yeah, and a lot of people were very upset when it came out that it would be okay to call these other drinks as milk.
Sure.
Because they're sort of riding on the coattails of milk when, in fact, they're not.
Right, right. And that way back, that started as a consumer protection law, right? So similar to the likes of fruit and fruit juice, why you see 100% fruit juice, and if it's not 100%, you see the added word cocktail or drink. That's to alert the consumer that that's not 100% juice and you're not getting the nutrient, the fruit nutrition that you might be expecting. Or fruit isn't spelled correctly. That's a consumer protection to point out to the consumer. So we're trying to advocate that for milk so consumers understand it's okay to consume the other products, but don't expect the nutrition from a plant-based beverage that you would be getting from dairy milk because it's just not the same.
Pam emailed to say she's 64 and drinks about 2 to 2.5 gallons of skim milk a week. It's her go-to drink. Are there downsides to drinking too much milk?
I mean, there's downsides to excess of anything, right? But I wouldn't necessarily consider that too much. And I would say if it's working for her body and it's working in her lifestyle, then I would say keep doing it.
Yeah. Kathy in Greenleaf, you have a question.
Yes, I have 2 grown sons who, all the while they were growing, they would probably, between the two of them, consume a gallon of milk a day. We were always buying milk.
Mm-hmm.
Now that they're in their 40s, they all of a sudden, they are allergic. They say they're allergic to milk, and they've also developed a gluten intolerance. So how does
that happen? How does that happen?
You know, how does this happen?
Yeah, that's kind of a longer answer. In terms of milk, you have both a situation where you could be intolerant to the lactose, which is the most common, and that's simply age is a big deal with that, with just a lacking of the enzyme. And allergy is a different situation. That's talking about the protein in the milk. So the first would be to identify which is which. Is it an intolerance to lactose or is it an allergy to milk? And so as far as, like I said, with the lactose, it's very common with adults. Very simple substitutions, however, like the lactose-free dairy milk, as I mentioned, store brand or, you know, name brand, doesn't matter. Nutrition is the same. And ultra-filtered milk also, ultra-filtered, not ultra-processed, ultra-filtered milk will also be low, if not free of lactose.
Mm. And Andrea Dale emailed to ask the benefits of A2 milk, someone who has difficulty digesting it?
Sure. So A2 has to do with the protein. Cows produce a combination of A1 and A2 protein in milk. But some people do have a sensitivity or a intolerance to the A1. And so if they consume A2, they may feel better or digest the milk better. Nutrients across the board, though, however, are the same. So the dairy nutrition is the same which is great.
Andrea, it's a pleasure talking with you. Thank you so much. Will you come back and be with us again down the road?
Certainly.
Love to have you back. Andrea Miller, a registered dietitian and the outreach program manager for the Center for Dairy Research at UW-Madison. Great to have her with us, and we'll get her back. Tomorrow on Garden Talk, some tips on growing peppers from the executive director of All American Selections and National Garden Bureau. And then we'll take a look at Orchid Quest. Big thanks, of course, to our guests today, and of course to our team as well. So it's always a team effort. I'm the guy on the air most of the time, but there are lots of people that are making me sound smart and look good. Claire Kniper, Joel Patnod, Lee Rayburn, and Jeff Robbins, our executive producer, Jill Nadol. I'm Larry Mueller again, and thanks for listening, and stay with us. Lots more in store here on WPR News.